Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. We just watched the Formula One Spanish Grand Prix from Barcelona. Lewis Hamilton takes the win again.
Who?
Yeah, that guy, Lewis Hamilton.
That guy.
This is John Massengill. I'm in the studio, and Jonathan Green and Dave O'Neill are joining us from their home studios. And we have a special guest on the line. We have a young American driver. Driver for the Kiwi Motorsports in the Formula 4 United States Championship, Spike Kulbecker. Spike, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on again. Well, Jonathan, I want to start with you, buddy. I want to, you know, I know it wasn't the most exciting start to finish race. There was enough going on there to keep my attention. And what'd you think?
I think the expression is, it's one for the purists. What I mean by that is, to a lot of people who don't watch it very often, you'd probably find that fairly boring. But if you talk to someone like Rob Smedley or Dave O'Neill, they'd probably find it fascinating because there was a lot of strategy involved in that and a lot of interesting radio talk back with the potential of the rain, the decisions on soft and medium and hard tires with Albon, which I thought was a mistake. So there's a lot going on, but no, it wasn't the most exciting of nail-biting races. And yeah, it was just another walk in the park for Mr. Hamilton. And seemingly, Mercedes, whatever problems they had in Britain, have disappeared.
Yeah. Well, let me give out the phone number in case anybody wants to join us. It's 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Feel free to call in and tell us what you thought of the race. But let me run down the results. Lewis Hamilton wins the race. Max Verstappen, another second place for Max, extending his second place lead over Valtteri Bottas, who had third. Then Sergio Perez on a one-stopper, Lance Stroll, Carlos Sainz, Sebastian Vettel for Ferrari, and that's the only Ferrari that finished the race. We'll talk about that. Alex Albon in eighth, Pierre Gasly, another good race for him in ninth, Lando Norris, not his best race, in 10th, Daniel Ricciardo, Daniel Kvyat, Esteban Ocon, Kimi Raikkonen in 14th, finished where he started, Kevin Magnussen for the Haas team in 15th, Giovinazzi, George Russell, Latifi, Grosjean in last of the finishing cars, and Charles Leclerc, who did not finish the race. But let's start with the start of the race. And Dave O'Neill, you were telling us before we went on the air what you thought about the start. I found that fascinating because, you know, it looked to us, when I just saw it, I said, wow, Bottas did not have a good start, but you have a different take on that.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, Bottas definitely got beaten up on the start, whether it is he got a slight bit of wheel spin. But if you look at the difference in the gap between him and Lewis as they headed down to the first corner, pretty much stayed the same. I just think the other two guys got a fantastic start and took it away from Bottas. It'd be interesting to see the 0 to 150 times just to see who was the quickest there. But I think fair play to Stroll and Verstappen for a fantastic start. And then the knock-on effect from that is, of course, the time difference at the end that Bottas was behind his teammate Hamilton. I do think Hamilton was on a different planet today when it comes to putting a race together and being out front again. Didn't have too much to battle with. So, yeah, time difference there is huge at the end of the race. And, you know, the start of the race is where you have to get going properly in order to plan the rest of your race out. So, it was interesting from that perspective.
Yeah, but another good start for another good race, really, for Lance Stroll. I mean, he just continues to surprise me. He was up to third place, you know. Go ahead, Jonathan. We were just talking about how Verstappen and Stroll both had good starts.
Yeah, but I just want to kind of – I was very critical of Stroll when he started Formula One because he was daddy's boy and he always has been. You know, his dad – the rumor in Formula Three was that dad had invested $80 million up to date before he got to Formula One and was, you know, making sure that he would buy the right engine from Mercedes. And, you know, he was definitely the silver spoon boy. And I used to say, even when he was at TRS, but he's won every championship he's been in, and he has – leading up to Formula One. But I really do think this season and these last few races, he's been a match, if not better, than Perez, which is no mean feat in a car that has obviously improved dramatically. And therefore, he's now at the sharp end. So we're seeing him more. But he's driving well, too. He's not making mistakes. His qualifying, which I always think is the judge, was superb yesterday. I'm really impressed with him. And I for one, don't think Daddy's going to get rid of Lance Stroll. He's probably the cheapest driver in the paddock right now for his ability.
Yeah, and how are you going to get rid of Sergio Perez, too? Well, let's get our driver perspective. Spike Kohlbecker, what do you think about Lance Stroll and not only his race today, but about his position and what's going to happen?
I think he had a really good race today. That start that he had was quite interesting. I thought it was very good. When I agree with what one of you guys said, when Hamilton and Bottas were pretty much the same all the way down into turn one, but I think that both the racing points got a really good start and getaway, and I think their race pace is getting better and better. And it was quite interesting to see them that far up in the front.
Well, Dave, I want to ask you. So Max Verstappen came in second today again, and you thought he had a great drive. And also talk about the tire strategy for both drivers for Red Bull, because I know you had some interesting thoughts there.
Yeah. You know, Max, without doubt, drives and puts 110% effort in every time he gets in that seat. We also have to give a shout out to the team as well. They did a 1.9 pit stop and serviced the car, and also a 2 second one out of the stops they did. So if you look at that, and then also where Mercedes were, they did a couple of 2.5 second stops. Hamilton also had a four second stop in his first one. But these Red Bull guys, you know, week in, week out, they seem to put these super stops together.
Clearly, they're drinking the Kool-Aid, Dave.
Drinking the Kool-Aid, yeah.
they definitely had a couple of Red Bulls.
Yeah. And why not?
Yeah. Working.
But, yeah, I think the interesting bit for me, and I guess we won't know, we can only speculate on it, is Max's first words at the start of the race, he's going too slow. Now, what that meant, whether it was just Max being Max, he is quite clever. And then later on in the race, he decided to put his head down and get on with it after his engineer told him to do so. But I think they had to switch strategies to begin with. So he made a fantastic start. And then they went on, you know, the stint when I think it was the softs that started falling off the cliff. And he quite clearly just didn't have the grip there, as we were talking about earlier, all related to the track temperature, which was well up in the 120s, and also the rear tyres overheating and then starting to form blisters on them. And at that stage, there's no coming back from it. So he had to try and eke out as much as he could. But I think once they looked at
the strategies and also what they thought Mercedes were doing, they had to then change their game plan then and go for the other rubber, which was the mediums, which gave him a good platform to carry on with the rest of the race on.
Yeah, what about when Max Verstappen was, he was getting pretty angry on the radio talking about, you know, talking about, why are we watching the Mercedes cars? Why are we, you know, why don't we pay attention to our own car and our own race? What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, I think, he quite clearly is 100% right, because they knew they couldn't, at that stage, could not beat Mercedes. Well, certainly Lewis anyway. And there's no point concentrating on things that you can't do anything about. And Max had worked that out, and he's, you know, maybe the engineers hadn't got on to the platform that Max was on. And then he said, look, you know, let's just stop worrying about them. How can we finish second here? Bottas is going to do what they're going to do, which is put on new rubber at the end, try and close the gap. Again, they've managed the tyres well on the Bottas camp. And it was getting quite close at the end. Then Mercedes realised that they couldn't catch Max just because of the raw pace he had. So the only thing they could do is go and collect the 1 point for the fastest lap. Quite clever strategies there, and also maximising everything they could at that point of the race.
What about Albon? Was that a mistake to go on the hards?
That's a difficult one. I'd like to give him a bit of space, because he's new to it, and he's got a superstar as a number one driver. So did he get everything out of the tyres? Probably not. The other thing was, he was in the traffic as well. So there was quite a few other cars that they were playing with each other in the sort of the middle of the top 10 there. Interesting one. Did he go on the wrong tyres? I don't think so. I just think the traffic and all the other, you know, parts played a bigger component in him not being able to get into the zone and get on with it.
Yeah, looking at the pit stops, you saw, you know, in the top 10, you got guys with one stop, two stop, and three. So the one stoppers were Vettel and Perez. Got to give Vettel some credit today on a one stop.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, not a familiar territory. He got up, what, fifth, maybe fourth, and he hadn't spent much time up there. But
While we're on Vettel, I'd like to ask Dave a question. He's obviously righted the ship a little bit. He didn't qualify well, and in fact, he's been outdone by Leclerc all season so far, pretty much. And he's had a disastrous start. But then again, psychologically, he's not really with Ferrari anymore. He's halfway out the door. They changed his chassis. Was that psychological, or was there a crack, do you think?
I mean, honestly, I think it's more psychological. There's so many sensors on the cars, you know, and you're matching up data from car to car. There's so many loads you can look at, particularly in the push rods, which twist the car before you get to the suspension. So I think, you know, you look at turning inputs, you've got all the sensors there. As I said, you've got the push rod sensors, tyres, if the tyres aren't heating up the same. Also, we have to look a little bit at Vettel as well. I think there's a few very, very fine mistakes he's making. And when you've got a young charger like Charles in the car, who's putting it together every lap, and Vettel's making mistakes going on curbs, it just comes back and bites you. So maybe he's not there anymore. Well, we know he's not there, but it'd be nice to see what they're going to do about it.
Well, Dave, I got to ask you, Jonathan, you alluded to this, but Dave being an ex-team manager, do you, and Spike, you got to turn your headphones down, don't hear this, but do you ever tell the driver you've done something, but you haven't actually done anything, or you just put a fresh coat of wax on the car?
Yeah, for sure, it's been done. I remember in my Formula Ford days when someone was, can't remember who it was now, but moaning about some brake balance issues, and we did a test and rattled the spanners at the front of the cockpit, and he came back in and said, "Yeah, that feels much better." So, yeah.
But you know what? That in any sportsman's life, and I think Spike would agree with this. You know, having that comfort zone in your right in your head, if you believe that the changes that you've suggested have been made, then there's a placebo effect, I think, which says, okay, right, I've got what I want. Now I can perform and trust it. There's a lot that goes on between the two ears.
Yeah, Spike.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, go ahead, Spike. I mean, has that ever happened to you that you know of?
I mean, probably not that I know of, but they've probably done it to me. But I think that there was a lot of angry drivers today.
yeah,
Vettel was angry. And I mean, we were talking about Vettel. When you guys were saying it's kind of half in Ferrari, half out of Ferrari, and it's kind of showing. He was getting very frustrated because he brought up that something about tire management, and he had already asked the engineer that, and the engineer was now asking him that, and he was not very pleased with that. And there was tons of other drivers that were not pleased with what their engineers were doing today.
You know, that's a good point, Spike. And just for our audience, Spike has just started winning back here in the States, but people might not know his name that well here because he's been racing in Canada, Britain, and the TRS series in Toyota. And that's quite a lot of diversity in Formula Ford and so on. Formula Ford in New Zealand, Britain, and Canada, but then TRS. But he took his TRS team and joined up with them with the same engineer, Tim Neff, here in the States. And Spike, just again on that same point, like Vettel, how much importance has that been for you just to settle in and feel like there's a team around you?
You know, it's kind of like a home. You know, you don't get used to a new home until you've been there for a while. So I think it's been great working with Kiwi and Tim. Tim is very smart, and the changes that he's making on the car and the way he's putting the car together is very beneficial to me and the team, and it definitely shows it in the results.
Yeah, you guys are doing great. Well, hey, guys, we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to break down the Formula One Spanish Grand Prix. I want to talk about what happened to Leclerc when we come right back, because that was interesting. There may be some details that were more than meets the eye. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin. Back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dainese leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built, Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin, online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
Talk 1370.
This is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. We had everybody dancing on Zoom just now to that song. A bunch of old guys dancing on Zoom. That is not a pretty sight.
They're dancing.
Yeah, poor old Spike. Spike scarred for life.
We had that on our air live. That is disgusting.
That was disgusting. That's the right word.
Thank you. I resemble that remark.
Hey, when we went to break, I said when we come back. By the way, let me give out the phone number in case anybody wants to join us. 512-643-LIVE. 512-643-5483. Call us up. Tell us what you think of what happened today. But when we went to break, I said I want to talk about Charles Leclerc because he spun, right? And then he couldn't get his car started. And apparently, and this is, I haven't confirmed this yet, but he undid his seatbelt and then he drove back to the pit without his seatbelt attached. And that's what they were messing around with in the
Santino.
Pit box there. Yeah, that I haven't heard. I don't know if that's true or not since we just, you know, came off the race. But man, Dave, as a team manager, what would you say to your driver who did that?
Well, I've had that experience before. I think if we go back, I don't know if you want to talk about why the car cut out, John. But
yeah,
I think
sure, go ahead.
The lead up to popping the belts. I think the other thing we can see from this weekend, they've got these big sausage curbs in, which are, you know, a lot of the drivers are finding time going on them now as well. So they put them in there to keep the drivers on the track, but they're actually finding time by going on them or around them. So I think that's an interesting point and what they'll do, you know, for the Grand Prix then next year. But I think, and this is only speculation, but with Charles, he was pushing pretty hard to do the overtake on the McLaren. And I think he hit the curb and it switched the car off. Because if you look at the steering wheel, just as he hits the curb, it goes blank. And then he's in gear, so there's nothing he can do. He can't take it out of gear. There's a neutral position button for the marshals, which you can push on the top of the cockpit, you know, maybe a foot,
is that...
foot down from the cockpit. So he thought his race was done. You can actually start the car off its own battery power. It's part of sporting regulations requirement that you can, if you stall the car, start it. But what you have to do first before you start the car is drop the car into a false neutral. And I think that's what he was trying to do. So he was in the way. It was also good because they could have brought the safety car out. So he was trying to get it in out of gear. He was trying to start it. And once he'd gone through all those systems, we didn't hear any of the radio chatter. I think they flicked it off. You can flick that off if you don't want that to be sent out to the public. But I think they probably said, look, you need to get out now because there's no chance of starting it again. So he popped his belts and then he had one more go because that's sort of a driver he is. And it started. And then he probably said over the radio, which we didn't hear, I don't think I heard, I've popped my belts. So they had to change the strategy then and obviously bring him in to put a new set of rubber on and put the belts on. So... that's probably what happened. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's something in the rules that says you obviously have to have seatbelts in the car, but there's nothing that alludes to driving around the circuit. I mean, there's many drivers that have won Grand Prix and popped their belts and half jumped out of the car.
In the middle of a race, I think they might have something to say, though.
I'm sure they will, yeah. I'm sure it won't go untouched.
Well, what about is there a sensor that when you hit the curbs, you say the steering wheel went blank, is it like a collision sensor or is that just a bad connection because of the curb?
Well, it could be that they have a master switch on the car. So if you hit anything with that much force, you get a certain amount of vibration through the car. And you've seen the cars when they hit the curbs and all four wheels go off the ground, how much the tires start sort of porpoising, if you like, from that. So it's only a guess from my part. I've seen it happen before that the master switch just got flicked off, or there's the master switch and then there's the ignition switch, which is on the right-hand side. That could have popped off as well. They tend to use aircraft switches, so they've got latching switches. But say anything could have happened. I don't think that the engine failed itself. I just think it was some small technicality like that.
Well, they should use aircraft switches this weekend. I mean, the cars, so many cars were in the air. Y'all on the curbs, y'all see practice three and everything. It was crazy. It was how much airtime we had this weekend. But hey, Spike Kolbecker said something during the break that he was watching some of the replays of the start. Spike, give us your report, buddy.
On the start, I think that the Racing Points actually got a about the same start as the Mercedes, but either due to wind or a tow down to turn one, they just had an amazing run on the inside. I think it was Stroll that was on the inside.
Yeah, just saying that though, you know, just the fact that they had the same start as a Mercedes in a Racing Point, you know, I know that's the biggest story of this whole year, it seems like, but still, that's pretty awesome. But so Jonathan, what else struck you today? And any other drivers that, I mean, driver of the day, I think the official was Sebastian Vettel, which, okay.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
I'm okay with that. But other drivers had some good races. Daniel Ricciardo had a good race. What about anybody else come to mind?
Like I said, you know, I mentioned Stroll already, but, you know, both he and Perez, I mean, that was the best 1-2 finish for Racing Point all season. And regardless of the controversy, I'm just glad to see somebody else at the sharp end. I think they're going to get dinged quite clearly, and it's going to go to court, and it's going to be messy. But, you know, hats off to them. It's a far cry from the tiny Jordan that Dave was part of back in the beginnings. They've expanded. They're right across from Silverstone. And I was reading an article about Ottmar saying, you know, they've expanded to over 400 strong. So, you know, they're definitely now under Stroll's money and new look, new era. They've got good long-term sponsors. I really do think that regardless of this controversy where they've overcopied the Mercedes, I think they pushed themselves forward to a point now where, you know, they're finally top of the midfield.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a fun story. Like you said, it's just somebody that get up there besides Mercedes and Red Bull and Ferrari. So looking down the grid after Perez and Stroll, like you said, finished fourth and fifth, best of the season, Carlos Sainz had a nice home race.
Yep.
Yeah, I think both McLarens, they were the show that shone today for me in the midfield, just outside of... We can actually start saying that Racing Point aren't part of the midfield anymore. They're actually, they've moved out of it, haven't they?
Absolutely.
They're the new Ferrari in an old Mercedes.
Yeah. Did you see, was it Stroll flying past Vettel down the straight?
Yeah. It was I tweeted out that it looked like he had a third turbo blowing past Vettel because
I wrote down in my notebook, I hate DRS.
Yeah. He had fresh tires and DRS and that third turbo, man. It was, and by the way, you know, speaking of the Ferrari cars, did you guys see the facial expression on Charles Leclerc? If you're watching on social media, we're going to get that picture up here in a second, but the facial expression of Charles Leclerc in the garage, it was like, it said everything about what happened to him. It was...
Yeah, you don't see people in Monaco cry very often, but I think he was close.
Yeah.
He was close, yeah.
That was ugly.
And he was, you know, he was sweating away there. I think it was a hard race for the drivers this weekend with the heat. Totally different from what they're used to.
I thought it was interesting that Valtteri, he of no emotion, said, I can't stand these black bloody things, they're hot.
Yeah, black covers, coveralls,
They got them with the racist, anti-racist, black, all black look. And that would have been, I mean, wearing black clothes, that's the famous thing. You know, that's the hottest thing you can wear.
Yeah. I mean, it is August. We got to remember, you know, the schedule's all out of whack. And I mean, it was hot and windy So it was interesting physical conditions today. Let's look down the grid. Obviously, after Carlos Sainz, we had Sebastian Vettel, and then Albon and Gasly, two young drivers. Let's compare what's going on with those two guys right now. Jonathan, you were talking about Albon before. I think he was yesterday, and you and I were talking.
Yeah, I tell you what really has impressed me about Albon is his overtaking and his aggressive stance on overtaking. And he did it again today, twice around the outside at three and at four. And I mean, you know, when you speak to him, we did last time at the American Grand Prix. He's typical Thai, actually. He's typical Thai and typical British. He's doubly soft, as it were, as a person. Well, because the Thais are very gentle, and of course the English won't talk to anybody, so he's very humble. But when he's on track, my word, can he be aggressive? And funnily enough, I raced for many years, or commentated for many years, on his father's career, who was a Porsche Carrera Cup champion in Asia, and he was a very aggressive driver, but a really nice guy. So he's definitely a chip off the old block, and I'm really impressed with the way Albon's driving. But then again, in the same sentence, really impressed with how Gasly has recovered.
Yeah, man, Gasly's looked good this year, hasn't he? It's been fun to watch him. And thinking about, I was listening to the BBC's podcast yesterday, and they were talking about how he has done so well, and maybe it's his the way he hello, get the phone, would you? It was the way he has a different environment at the AlphaTauri team versus the cutthroat, yeah, Red Bull team, you know, with Max Verstappen. And, you know, I think that's going to shake just about anybody trying to compete with Max Verstappen. But, man, he's looked good, hadn't he?
Mm-hmm. Really good.
All right, I'm just looking at the...
I was just
looking at the clock. We need to take a quick break, and then we will get your comments, Mr. O'Neill. Let's go to break. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin. Back after these messages.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
This is David Hobbs, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show.
Shemuzzle.
That was Jonathan Green. And during the break, we talked a little bit about Grosjean. Man, he pulled over in front of Kimi, and he Kimi's not going to hold back. I think Kimi dropped several F-bombs and some other words, too. I think Grosjean's just not doing the right thing here, guys.
Well, I mean, the rules say when somebody's overtaking you, you can weave once, right? You can weave, but you can't just flick your steering wheel right at the moment of impact almost, which is kind of what he did. And he's done it. He did it twice at the British Grand Prix he's done it three times in the last 3 weeks. I don't really know what he's trying to achieve with that, because it's not going to come to any good. And he started his whole career being a bit of a flyboy. Everybody's sort of a bit nervous about him. And he got a lot of criticism then calmed down. But he seems to be back to his old ways a little bit. I'm not impressed.
Yeah, he's fast. We know that. He can be fast. And several times this season, he's out-qualified Magnussen, and he's put down some good lap times. And of course, the Friday, he looked super fast. And I heard the commentary during on the radio talking about how both Magnussen and Grosjean were both, they were both wondering what happened in qualifying. And I thought that was kind of weird. They were saying the same thing. It's like, well, wait a minute. You would know if the car was really not fast, and maybe it was just fuel loads or whatever. Well, Dave, obviously you have a unique perspective.
Let's ask the team
manager. Yeah, Dave O'Neill. I mean, why? We said it in the pre-show about the tire heat, but why wouldn't they know?
Well, they would. They would know. I think there's the quick answer to that, really. Hmm.
What's your take on Grosjean?
Grosjean, like we're always trying to put a positive spin on him, but he definitely he lost concentration for sure. He's allowed to make a move for sure, which he can do. But I think he lost concentration. He was up to something else. He could have been on the radio, but he's a professional driver. He should have had that together. And you know, the consequences for touching down the straight at 190 mile an hour are huge. I mean, you turn into aeroplanes at that point. So I don't know if there's anything to be answered there with the stewards at the end of the race. But is Grosjean, we sort of return to the same conversation. When he's quick, he's quick. And when he's not, he's creating havoc around the circuit.
Yeah, when he's French, he's French.
Somebody just tweeted at us. Andy P actually just tweeted at us. He says, is it time to make a change at the Haas F1 team? Hulkenberg or Perez, assuming he's out, would make a good fit, I think. That's Andy's opinion.
That's actually really quite an interesting subject matter, because that is, of the seats available, Vettel too, but I'm sure Gunter would say, can't afford him. But, you know, there is, yeah, I mean, it's not a bad place to be. Magnussen's a hard taskmaster to get on with, but you could certainly throw in Hulkenberg there as a change of scenery.
Yeah, those two have got good history, haven't they?
Yeah, that wouldn't upset the team, would it?
Well, I think Gunther would like that, because he prefers everyone on edge and fighting.
Whatever. By the way, Jonathan, your imitation of Gunther is... Donald Schwarzenegger. You're going to have to delineate that a little bit.
No, gotcha. I'm not Gene. I'm Gunther.
I'm not Gene.
Dave, that was when Les Kaiser, our host who's not on today, walked up to Gunther and said, Gene Haas. And, just kind of flustered being
live on air
on the grid in Monaco. Well, Jonathan, I think we have someone else to join the party. Someone that wants to talk about Sebastian Vettel. I wanted you to introduce her.
Yes, of course, it's our old friend Inga Stracker from Germany, one of the perennial F1 reporters. Back when I was a wee lad just in shorts, I learned all I could from Miss Stracker, and she has been around Formula One and certainly been around Vettel his whole career. So if you want to know what's going on with Sebastian Vettel, no better person than Inga to talk to.
Thanks, Johnny. And I hope you don't expect me to make my impression of a German accent in English. I'm trying my best not to have one.
Well, Gunther's from, like, he's almost Austrian, right? Am I right?
Well, actually, not almost. He is Austrian.
Okay, fair enough.
What is almost corrected. Austrian anyway?
Yeah, here I am insulting Germans when they're on the air. That's good. Nice work. Carry on, Inga.
Well, Inga, we've been giving Vettel a hard time this year, and I've been saying, has he lost his mental edge? What's going on? What do you think? What does Germany think of what's going on with Sebastian Vettel?
Well, I think it was quite interesting to see how Ferrari rediscovered today, or seemed to be rediscovering, that they actually do have a second driver. right after Charles Leclerc's, actually, you know what happened with him? He had a problem, an electronical problem with the car. He couldn't restart. So he opened his seat belt sitting on the car, on the track or aside of the track, opened his seat belt, and then thought, oh, I retried to restart the car. And then it did start, and he drove back to the pits with an open seat belt. And he had to come into the pits, not because of the engine, but because of the seat belt, and they couldn't close it. And that's why they retired him.
Well, we were wondering about that. We didn't know. Yeah. Is he going to get in trouble for that?
I don't know. Well, we will see. But the interesting bit was that Ferrari did seem to have, once again, a bit of radio miscommunication, because Vettel was running quite strongly. He was P5, like less than 10 laps to go. And he did actually ask a few times on the radio, guys, what's your plan? What should I do in terms of pace? Should I save the tires or not? And there was no reply, no answer. And then they did say, oh, push, push, push. So he pushed. And he did say, I pushed, and I knew that that was costing the tires. But a few laps later, like he did say 3 laps later, they suddenly said, oh, do you think you could stay out till the end? And he did give a few beeps in the radio and said, well, this is exactly what I asked you quite a while ago. Of course, I tried to do it because we have nothing to lose now.
That is so Ferrari lately, I swear. That just doesn't seem like they've got their act together, quite honestly. And Jonathan, you've been telling me that this is Ferrari for years, right?
To be honest, yeah. I mean, they can't get it. They can't trip over themselves enough. We've seen it on, I mean, almost on every iteration. About the only time Ferrari has looked like a bulletproof machine was in the Schumacher years. And I don't mean to be rude, but all the engineers and the team boss, Ross Brawn, were British at the time. And it was regimental and very un-Italian. And I'm going to get a lot of feedback, I'm sure, from Italians who'll be mad at me. Vito, sorry.
More spaghetti.
But I don't know. I would like to get Inga's, while we've got her on, take on what's going on with Vettel. I mean, obviously, like I said earlier, he's halfway out the door. Can't be an easy time in his career. What's going on? What are the German press saying? What do you think is going on with him?
I have a feeling that he's like really not feeling comfortable in the team, and it seems that they're not really communicating with him as they used to, or as they should do, or as they do with his teammate. In general, I think the opinion now is, and I don't want to be bashing Ferrari because a lot of people over here are bashing Ferrari, but the general opinion seems that they are kind of destroying him mentally, that they are kind of undermining him, whether they do that deliberately or not. But two things. Ferrari did say that they're planning a restructure, and because of that, they couldn't keep him on board anymore because he's not part of the restructure. And then they were saying, oh, no, but it was because of the money. And he said very clearly in May, when he finally came on and at the first race, and he said, or in June, he said, actually, we never even talked about money. It didn't get that far. So that's one thing. Hmm. Also, they were saying he had no chance due to Corona to prove how fast he still is. At another race where Charles Leclerc couldn't finish, they said, oh, Charles didn't have a chance to show how fast he is, but he doesn't have to.
Hmm. Double standard. Yeah.
So what do you make of that, you know? And I think, and I hope that most drivers out there will agree for my feeling, and I am not a driver, but everything you do need to feel comfortable. You do need to have someone backing you up and not being afraid of someone stabbing your back. And if you feel that you are being undermined and people are second guessing you or doubting what your capabilities are, then you start maybe also questioning yourself. And maybe that is what's happening with Sebastian. That's what a lot of people suspect. And I've spoken to some drivers and engineers, and I say, as soon as you start questioning yourself, you can't push over the limit anymore, or to the limit, as you have to do to be extraordinary like Lewis's.
Well, Inga, where's Sebastian Vettel going to go? Where do you think he's going to end up?
That's the $2 million question. I think there are bets being taken on it. I hear that he has a contract from Racing Point, who are Aston Martin next year, that he just needs to sign. There still are rumors that he might go back home to Red Bull or maybe even AlphaTauri. That's the options we hear. I think for him, car-wise, especially with the, you know, the way he prefers a car, in regards of downforce and rake and all these things, I think the Racing Point / Aston Martin would be a very good option for him, and also a very competitive one, as we have seen with Nico Hülkenberg when he stepped in and was fast right out of the gate.
Okay, Dave O'Neill.
Three drivers, though.
Yeah, Dave O'Neill, if you're Otmar, are you going to take Vettel over? We talked about how well Lance Stroll's doing, how good Sergio Perez is. What do you do?
Well, that is you need three cars really at that point. you know, Perez does bring money, I believe, so they can't shake that off. There's no doubt that Lance is driving really, really well. You can't take that away from him. Starts are fantastic. His race pace is great. And he's also able to qualify the car as well. So I'd put him in the team. I'd keep him in the team. Also, going back to Inga's point about Finn feeling comfortable, you know, all Vettel has ever had is a comfortable team around him from the start with Toro Rosso, and then from there, you know, winning the Grand Prix, been a hero there, and then moving off towards Red Bull and having the whole team around him. I think that, you know, they're probably broken into two halves with him. He's feeling the pressure at Ferrari for sure. But also, Ferrari don't seem to have this leader. So with Binotto, he was leading the team quite well last year until they had their engine problems. But he's also taken on a lot more. So he's maybe his eyes off the ball a little bit when it comes to running the team and getting back to
basics. He was technical director as well as sporting director, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah. And then they moved Jock Clear around. I think there's no real leader there. There is a leader, obviously, but there's no real leader who goes in and, you know, tells them the bins are full, or, you know gets the drivers in line and puts the fire under them when required. So there's a lot of tit for tat going on there. But going back to your original question, you'd want a Vettel, but you'd want him in the right frame of mind. And how quick can he clear his mind after this Ferrari thing? It's only going to get worse. So what's he going to be like at the end of the year? And do you need to change the drivers? You've got two fantastic drivers there who are producing the goods, pushing each other on. Do you need to put that dynamic in the team? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But it's definitely an interesting topic to keep an eye on for sure as the season progresses.
Yeah, and you know, like you just said, both drivers are doing well. Stroll and Perez are both doing well, but they're also not making mistakes. I haven't seen Stroll make a mistake recently that I remember, and Perez is pretty mistake-free. So, yeah, interesting topic. Well, we got to take another quick break. Everybody hang tight, hold your microphones, and we'll be back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, VBox, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers.
Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hi guys, Romain Grosjean from Haas F1 Team, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Yeah, Romain Grosjean heard us talking and called in and gave that little bumper while we while we were debating his future. Hey, while we were off air, we had a little miniature discussion, and I want to talk about it on the air. And Dave O'Neill, you brought up the topic of Toto Wolff and Aston Martin, and I will self-admit that I don't know enough about this, but I know you and Inga Strecka can probably have some conversation to this.
Yeah, I was quite keen, you know, with the ear to the ground that Inga has, is just to find out what the what path Toto Wolff's on. He's got a lot going on. He's got some shares, which is commonly known in Aston Martin. He is the most successful team principal, I guess, in the history of F1, correct me if I'm wrong. And where does he go from here? You know, does he carry on winning? Does he carry on staying? And with the new budget cuts, is it going to be, you know, unattractive for him to stay in what he's doing? What do you think, Inga? Where do you think Toto Wolff's story is going?
Yeah, that's a lot of questions. There was quite a tense atmosphere in Thursday's press conference when he was actually asked about his future. And he has actually very clearly said he hasn't taken the decision yet. These are discussions that are ongoing and they're positive and I enjoy them. He said he doesn't want to give people the idea that he's leaving because that's not the case. But he is in a moment of reflection where Formula One is heading, what's happening around COVID and also their personal reasons. He's also been saying that... His wife and the marriage with his wife is more important to him than Formula One victories. And she herself is in a good place running a Formula E team. So she's away a lot and also, you know, their parents. So I think you're right. There is a lot on his mind. And also there are rumors whether he might come on board and run the whole of Formula One. He said he also had constructive discussions with Chase Carey, the Formula One chairman and chief executive. So
I did hear that rumor.
Yes. So the Toto topic is quite a very interesting one.
Mm. Well, Dave, you've probably interacted with him. What do you think about him being the big boss?
I think he'd be perfect for the job. He's just, you know, he walks into the room, he's got the room straight away. He's now got the history. He knows what he's talking about. He's a free spirit as well when it comes to letting people getting on with their jobs, and when he can also bend it back into shape as well. So if it does tend to sort of start veering off track, he's very, very good at pulling it back on. Very clever guy. Love to have some sort of insight into his mind, but I think what he's done for Mercedes and with the team is fantastic. And I think we're at the point now where Formula One needs to carry on going with what they've done. They've done a fantastic job of putting it back on the map with the COVID crisis that we've had. And I think they need to build on that. And also talking with Rob earlier with all the graphics and integration with that side, I think it's a time that Formula One has to make this move. And it's a huge move to take it to the next level, next planet, basically.
And you know what? Two things about Toto Wolff. One, you said his free spirit. I'm glad, because the things that we talked about, that Rob Schmedley talked about on the pre-show about doing different things to break it up, you know, Saturday races and everything from that, from reverse grids. I hope he would be open to that. But also, the big question is, you know, the team you're running now, if they continue to win the next three or four championships in a row, then, you know, can you imagine that, guys? If all of a sudden Mercedes won like 10 in a row, that would not be good for the sport. And you have to tell him, first thing, your old team can't win a championship again.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But no, that would be interesting. You know, it's interesting you said he's probably the most successful team manager. And the only one I could think of when you said that was of course, Ross Brawn. So two of the biggest minds and two of the most successful men in Formula One running the sport would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, we have Spike Kolbecker. He's been quiet for a while because we haven't been asking his opinion on this. But Spike, what do you think about the state of Formula One and the, like I was just saying, the dominance of Mercedes? Well,
and he's a youngster. He's 17. So
yeah, exactly.
Is it there yet?
You know, I'd be quite interested to see Formula One kind of take the Formula Two route and change up the races and have multiple races a weekend or something like that. You guys mentioned the reverse grid. So I'm not exactly sure. I don't think anyone knows what their plan is in the future. But I would like to see some sort of change just to make it more interesting. That's just my take.
Well, do you think that young people your age are, I mean, do you see, you know, the audiences are growing in Formula One, but I don't know where they're coming from exactly. I don't know the demographics, but do you see that young people, 16, 18, 20-year-olds are growing to the sport, or coming to the sport and helping it grow in the audience size?
It's definitely possible that people are coming to watch the sport. I think F1 has been the pinnacle of racing for a very long time, and I don't think it's going to change unless maybe those crazy electric cars take over that, but hopefully it doesn't. I think most of the people that are watching F1 have a racing background or have been like a car person or something like that. So I think that has a lot of big ties in the people that watch F1.
Well, I think that's an important segment that we need to continue to focus on to try to grow the audience, which, like we mentioned earlier, Liberty Media has done a good job with social media and all things digital. I still need to work on F1 TV. I still had a little trouble with that this weekend, but I think that they've done a good job. But well, Jonathan, how would you? We just got a couple of minutes left. How would you wrap up?
Let's get predictions on Spa, starting with Ingram.
Yeah,
Ingram.
There you go. I like that.
Oh my God, I can't even predict the weather for Spa. You know, it's summer in Spa when the rain is warm. So it could be rainy. Then no prediction. Then maybe Max. It could be hot, really, really hot, because we are having a hot summer this year in Europe. Then maybe Max, but really, under normal circumstances, I've got to say Lewis or Valtteri, maybe.
Yeah. And I already told everybody, stop saying rain, you know, during the race, because it'll never happen. And now you've already ruined Spa by starting the conversation.
Oh, sorry. Well, but Ferrari ruined that. Ferrari did say lap 50 rain.
Yeah, they did.
As the only team, by the way.
Yeah, they showed themselves
made
well
that
there.
Prediction. Yeah.
Dave, what do you think about Spa next race, 2 weeks from now?
Well, I think the disappointing thing about Spa is you don't have the police escorts out there on Sunday night after the race.
Right.
That was the most fun.
And are hungry.
You and Jonathan both talk about those. They must have been special.
Oh, they were. Awesome.
All right, Spike Kolbecker, what do you think about Spa? Any predictions?
I think it'd be quite interesting to see if I'm not exactly sure how the rules go of F1, but maybe Ferrari breaks out some crazy new design, and because they did quite well last year, if I remember correctly. So maybe they break out their crazy designs and have a really fast straight line car again.
I like your thinking. I like your optimism with the sport. I
actually,
love
this engine, may I Yeah. Chip in here.
Go ahead.
Right. I forgot. You just reminded me. Thank you very much. New rules in Spa. No more party mode.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's official.
Yep.
Well, so we're starting without a party in Spa. There you go.
No hammer time.
No hammer time. Very good circuit.
Or they run the party mode the whole weekend. Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Then
till it blows.
They probably are already down the road in Liège by the time everybody finishes the race.
All right, everybody, we are out of time. Thank you, Inga Strecker, for coming on. Thank you, Spike Kohlbecker. Thank you to Rob Schmedley for coming on the pre-show. Man, if you didn't hear that, you need to download the podcast for that. Go to speedcitybroadcast.com or iTunes or Spotify or any of your favorite podcast platform and get it. Radio.com, any of those. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Happy trails.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.